everyone, welcome back to the Onigiri & Co. podcast. This is the first episode of 2024, and this is quite a special one. Today I don't have one, I don't have two, but I have three people with me from Fly Tribe magazine. Hello!
Hi!
How are you guys?
We're doing great.
Awesome. Happy to be here.
Yeah, thank you.
Excited, Eva.
Yeah, I'm really happy to have your team here. I feel like it's quite exciting to talk about your project, but also to get to know each of you, because I don't really know each of you. I've heard and I've had a look at the magazine, but I haven't really got to know you yet. So I'm quite excited, because this is the goal of this podcast. It's called Onigiri & Co., and Co. is company, so I want to get to know you guys.
Very cool. So, we brought the company.
Yay. So I'm thinking we could start by introducing all of you, and then we can talk a little bit more about your project if you want.
Mm-hmm. Please.
I'm Marcella FPV.
My name is Mick. I go by Netcat FPV.
And I'm Jason, and pilot name, I go by Reckinson.
Cool.
Everybody says it wrong.
They think it's, they think it's Reconson from Wisconsin. That's what Blockgrinder thought for a while, so it kind of caught on the wrong way. But it's actually Reckinson, and it makes no sense.
Don't worry, I understand. For a long time, people they thought I was Oni Girl, and it's actually Onigiri. But that's okay. I like Oni Girl as well. So how did you guys met, and how did you like started doing what you're doing together?
Well, actually, it's kind of a cool story. Marcella and I moved to Florida during the whole 2020 migration during the COVID time, and we got into FPV, and we were directed by the local pilots in the area to meet up. They have a special meetup on Friday nights.
Always.
Oh, every Friday night they meet up at Bankers. So Marcella and I were like, cool, like we're going to go check this out. First time ever checking out anything to do with drones or FPV. We just started flying ourselves, right? And just like watching Bardwell videos over and over and over again, learning. So now we're like, okay, we need to meet other pilots. We pulled up into this parking lot, and there had to be, I don't know, 15, 20 cars. There was just a massive amount of people just hanging out in this parking lot in the middle of this industrial area.
Kind of always.
Yeah, and so we
were pretty nervous.
Yeah, we were really nervous. So we pull up and we roll down our windows, and everybody's like coming around the car like, who's this? Who's this? And I rolled down the window and I was like, we like drones. And everybody was like, yeah! And everybody started cheering.
Nice.
So, and at that point, it was just every Friday night, we go up there and meet with everybody. And one day it was, we're at a bando near where he lives, and with Billy Hackett and Marcella and myself. And Billy was like, you know, hey, my girl was talking about, you know, we should start a magazine. And we kind of looked at each other and we're kind of like, all right, let's try. Let's just try it. And then, I don't know, it took us about 2 months or so, a little bit more, to put the first one together. And yeah, here we are.
It's a vision,
yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. that we kind of try to chase after. Yeah. But it's the community's vision. Yeah. It's a vision of FPV that some of us share, you know, about helping each other stay up in the air. I didn't mean to rhyme, but yeah. But yeah, we do though. Yeah. And that's, it's basically all it's about. I mean, if you don't come out Friday night, then it's your fault that you didn't get up in the air, even if everything you have is broken. So it's just, it's like good friends, good community, and it's rare. So it's cool.
Yeah.
And we want more of that from everybody. Bring it on.
That's really good. And oh my
Super
God,
positive.
I have so many questions in one go. So now I'm going to have to sort out my my thoughts. My first question is, because it's not easy to start a magazine. Like, it's not, I mean, we've all read magazines, but there's a big difference between consuming content and creating content. So I'm actually interested in your background in terms of, do you have any background in printing photos?
I wish. Absolutely none whatsoever.
I'm actually a preschool teacher, so.
I learned how to work a 3D printer about 8 months ago. And then other than flying a drone, that's it. I don't really.
I have a network security background. I used to work for Tesla for a while.
Oh yeah.
And so I was an engineer, and then we ended up moving out to Florida, and we were looking for something different. That was the whole point. When my wife and I moved out here to Florida, we were just like, we want to do something different. But the thing was that, like, I got into Tesla when early on. Right, I ended up getting hired on and working and building out the plants and the networks there. And one of the things that I saw, we saw, was that, you know, when we would drive a Tesla into like a parking lot or a supercharger, people would come out of the woodwork. Hey, what is that? I've never seen that before. You know, what kind of vehicle is that? Everybody was so interested in learning about it. And I feel like the same thing happens with drones. Like, back when Tesla was at its infancy and no one, certain people knew, like there was old school people who've been in the company or have a Tesla from the Roadster for years. But then there was this massive amount of people who didn't know. And then when we go out and fly, it's the same thing. People come up, what are you guys doing? Are you watching through the goggles? Oh my God, I've never seen that before. So we feel like this is kind of the beginning of that next transition of drones. You're starting to see it more and more in movies and production, more in the media. People are starting to understand it more.
It sets a narrative for what I think that, and what we all think the FPV should be, instead of letting a narrative sort of play itself out, however it does these days, you know. And we're setting an example like of how it should be, and I think it stands out, and it did. And that's the reason why it's getting big. It's not because we know anything about magazines.
Yeah, it's not like we have a background in magazines at all on building it. It was just more the inspiration of, you know, hey, we see the drones are getting big now in media. But what I think that people are not seeing is the community.
The positivity.
Is the group of people we go out to every Friday night. Your communities that have these pockets all over the world. Everybody's doing the same thing.
They're open sourcing.
They're getting together. They're helping each other. Yeah. They're flying. Why isn't anybody showing that?
And we also noticed that when we started, the community was so amazing. And they were so amazing with us. We didn't have any
community.
You guys
were so surprised.
We didn't know nobody here in Florida.
We came
to this community and they were so open. And we were like, let's do something back to the community. And the first magazine actually was from our community to our community. Like, we were doing it for us. And then it started growing bigger.
And that's fascinating. I can feel the passion, by the way.
It's exciting.
It is obvious on screen. And for people who are just listening, I'm sure they hear it as well. It's beautiful. It's why I love the community, is every time you talk to people, you can see that fire. It's awesome.
I don't understand why more people don't fly.
Well, we got to share it. That's what we're here. We're going to share it. People that fly and that don't. Somebody that doesn't know anything about FPV can pick up this magazine, and they can dive right into it, and they don't have to learn how to do something impossible to see what it's about and be involved. You don't have to fly drones to be involved.
You just have a puppy. Sorry, I'm easily distracted by dogs. Yes, so for people who don't see the screen right now, there's a dog on the screen.
There's actually five dogs. Yeah. Or no,
five
four
dogs.
Dogs. The other one's a cat.
This is Penelope.
Oh, hi, Penelope.
Give you kisses.
She likes wrecking. Over there.
Oh. My dogs are out of the screen right now, but they're sleeping on the couch that way. So I remember the first time I saw Fly Tribe magazine. I actually don't remember which account shared it. It was very early on, I think, in your journey, and it was a reel on Instagram. And it was someone who was like flicking through different magazines, and suddenly
Phantom.
What's up, Phantom?
And I got surprised. Like, I was like, oh, it's supposed to be FPV content. Why are we talking about magazine? And then I see Fly Tribe FPV, and I'm like, what is this? And then I kept seeing those kind of similar reels, probably by him. And I was like, this is brilliant. First, it's brilliant marketing, but also it's quite cool to have a physical copy of something about FPV. And I was curious. I didn't know I could find you online. I just, you know, sometimes you're on social media and you're just scrolling and you forget to go check online. But then I was wondering, what did you put? Do you remember what you put in your first release ever?
Where we put for what?
Contact. Yeah, content for articles and like for photos. How did you create your very first one?
Well, the first one was more kind of like, you
well,
know,
we had
we
a
didn't
lot
know
of
what we were doing.
Yeah, I think it, we had a lot of influx of content, mm-hmm. and then we yeah. had to do a reduction, like a lot of yeah. Like editing or a lot of other, you know, making anything and just a creative process. So there was a lot mm-hmm. of reduction, and then once we saw something that we liked, then we're like, yeah. well, they'll like it, and then. Yeah. Boop. And each one has been better ever since. The next one's going to
yeah.
be.
Yeah, we redefined the process. It, you know, what we've realized is that there's no easy button. So every magazine we put out, there's always something that was unexpected. So we're yeah. learning as we're going through this. But the first magazine at the time was really difficult. Lots of sleepless nights. What Marcella mentioned, we made it for ourselves. We wanted to make something that we would look at, because when we put it together, we actually didn't show anybody who was contributing yeah. to the magazine. We didn't show them the magazine. So if
yeah,
he wrote an article,
right.
like
first one didn't
Reckon wrote an article, yeah. we didn't show him the completed part. We showed him the article. If you submitted mm-hmm. something else, we just showed you that part. And then what happened was we met up on Friday night and we pulled out the magazine so everybody could experience having this thing that they built. They
yeah,
built
we have
together.
A proof. Yeah,
and
it's a process.
That was, looking back, that was actually the easiest one. It's actually, it's been more,
it is the simplest one.
It was because there was no, I mean, it was just, we are just whatever, you know?
It was for our group.
We just showed
so
up.
It was okay for us not to be amazing. It was just we wanted to be the best that we could in that point, because we have been learning everything about the magazine. We have learned in Google, like YouTube.
Yeah.
How
yeah.
to do this, how to, and that's how we have learned how to make a magazine. So same as you say about the videos that were posted by Phantom. We didn't ask them to put it.
No.
That wasn't our marketing yeah. strategy. Just he did it because he liked the magazine.
He loved it.
And so
yes.
he really did.
He became this.
At Rampage, he was like.
Yeah, we crashed Rampage, by the way, with a box five boxes of shirts
yeah.
and like a whole box of magazines.
And that was unexpected at that yeah. time, because we were all planning on going to Rampage and we just happened to have the stuff at the time that we were going. But the reception from everybody at Rampage was...
We didn't know what to think.
We were, the night before, we stayed in a cottage before Rampage, and we couldn't sleep. I thought we would see the magazine all over the ground. Like, people would just be like, what is this? And the reception from Rotor Riot and Stacy and, you know, everybody there was absolutely amazing. Everybody has been supportive from the very beginning. So it's...
Yeah,
you know,
everybody was.
It's been very lucky.
And it's made it... easy for that part, you know.
The support from the community that yeah. we have been getting is amazing.
We owe it to them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it's not us. It's them.
Yeah.
You know. We're just putting it together, you know.
Because all the pictures that you all the pictures that you see in the magazine, all the videos that you see are done by the pilots.
All of it.
Mm. It's wonderful. It's a great story. So how long did it take between the time you did your magazine for you and the time you realized, oh my God, so many people actually are interested in it? Like, so what's like several months?
We didn't know. We just kept on
right away. No, it was right away. It was, it was right after Rampage, mm-hmm. and we realized that people wanted to be a part of it. That's why, you know, there's a certain amount of people that help run Fly Tribe. And I always mention that these are the people who just keep the gears going. Everybody is part of Fly Tribe. Anybody can be in the magazine. Anybody can write an article. Anybody can be on the cover. You know, you don't have to have some special ability. You just got to be part of the community. And once mm-hmm. people started realizing that this is something that, you know, everybody can be a part of, we felt like we needed to kind of keep providing it. And people were, you know, submitting photos, they're submitting articles. And, You know, originally we wanted to do a monthly magazine, but we felt like that might be a little too much at the beginning. Yeah. So we wanted to do something that was at least up to date and we can keep it going. So 2 months, even though it's a lot, I mean, we have work, we have jobs, you know, we have other things that we do. And this is another project that we work on when we come home. So every 2 months seems to work out quite well, but it's a lot. Yeah. But we enjoy it. We enjoy doing it. So
we enjoy everybody's reaction, you know, for sure.
So you get people writing for you. You said you get people to send photos. Do you also write your own content sometimes when you feel like it?
Yeah, some of us do. Like Reckon. Reckon writes an article. He's been writing articles about like kind of like a how-to article on how to do certain things. Zoe, for example. And what's cool is that you don't have to write what you're like well-known for. So Zoe's an amazing pilot, right? She is, she's been in the community for a really long time. A lot of people look up to her. She's known for 3D flying. Right.
Yeah.
But she doesn't write about 3D flying. You know, she writes about what she wants to write about. And what she wanted to write about was the history of something so it wasn't forgotten. You know, it was documented somewhere so it's just not poof into the air and lost forever. And that's what we encourage people. If you want to write for the magazine, you want to write an article, write what you want to write about.
And what stands out to us will end up in the magazine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a couple articles coming up in the next issue that I am excited to even read fully myself. Mm-hmm. I've only looked at it. And it's not really, you know, it's amazing what the community's coming up with and what they're adding into and how much, like, people are going to be able to relate to what they experience, like, daily, you know, trying to stay up in the air and do this. And it's not easy.
Well, like this one, for example, that's coming out. I mean, there's been a lot of talk lately about, you know, quitting FPV, you know, and it being kind of a hard, is FPV dead? There's two articles in the magazine that talk about someone going through that. One in particular talks about going through wanting to quit and going through those trials and errors and then coming out at the end. And I don't want to give it away, but at the same time, it's one of those things where it fits into kind of what the community is going through.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very strong opinion at the moment. Like what the hell happened to FPV? I have my strong opinion on this, but because I'm going to talk about this in the next episode with Pod Grinder, I also don't want to get ahead of the topic.
Good. I can't wait for that one.
Yeah, I know.
I love that guy. That guy is amazing.
He's
been a huge supporter, honestly. Like, Bot Grinder.
He really is a great dude.
His whole group is just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, all those people that showed up when he came down here.
Yeah, it was. Down here to fly. And
we showed him some good hospitality.
Yeah, he's amazing. That's amazing man.
Awesome. I remember in a previous episode with him, I don't remember which one, I don't remember how many we've done. I feel like we have done several, but maybe not because he just talks a lot. It's a good thing. But he mentioned a magazine. He said, I would love to have a magazine or help a magazine out. So I wonder if he already knew about your project at the time or if he was referencing to that. I will ask
him. He might have been because he was one of the few early on that knew about it.
Because Billy being such a supporter for so long.
Billy Hackett, I mean, he's part of this as well too, and he's been tight with Bot Grinder for a while. So Bot helped with the first magazine, contributing some of his group contributed some of the photos and. I think the magazine probably was talked about. In a lot of different groups, because it fits into like what we grew up with in the community. You know, like there's a lot of ex-BMX bikers and skateboarders and snowboarders that now, you know, if I can say it how Apache did in his video, you know, instead of breaking our bones, we're breaking quads, you know. But it's the same mentality. It's the same type of, you know, you're doing lines, you're coming up with tricks, you're hanging out with the group, you're running from the police. I mean, everything is there, you know. All you're missing is the magazine, you know, and that's kind of like...
And the magazine sets it all in stone, like on a timeline, you know, because this is the beginning. So, you know, 24, 36 issues down there, you know, somebody that has all those magazines, I'll have them all.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and yeah. You're going to be able to go back, and it's more than nostalgia. It's, you know, it's something that's defined. And these days, people don't know what's real anymore. Well, yeah. This is something you can have that is real. It's tangible. Mm-hmm. You can always go look at it. Nobody can ever change it. And that's as real as it gets, you know? Mm. And that's what people want. They want to see something that they can know is real. Because these days, you never know.
Such a good point. So before the, just a quick tangent, but it makes sense and it relates to what you said.
Right.
Just before the holiday, I got a bit busy at work and suddenly I had to do an episode for this podcast on my own, which I never do. And I was like, oh, what do I want to show? So I wanted to show three videos that I really loved over the years and I have rewatched several times, multiple times. And at some stage in that episode, I wanted to talk about the history of FPV and like the phases that happened. So especially in content production, like in content creation, I was like, oh, I remember at the start, people were only just flying and sharing the flies and there were vlogs and, but I couldn't really, there was nothing. There's no magazine or like a website that referenced this. So what I had to do, I just went on Mr. Steele YouTube channel. And I was like,
he is the FPV magazine before us.
Because I thought, oh, I'm just going to look at the history of his content and it's going to be reflective of what we were doing. But if we had had a magazine since the beginning, I could just have, you know, went back and be like, oh, yeah, in that year, that's when Cinematic happened. Or, that year, that's when Drift Chasing happened, you know? So
no, some of these issues are not going to be out again either. So it's like,
you're exactly right. Like, for example, you could just leave the magazine on your coffee table. And then when your relatives come over or your friends come over, or if they ask, hey, what's all the toy drones?
Yeah, what's the
deal? You would be like, hey, you know, well, we have a magazine.
It's a reference.
And you can take a look at it and you can show them in physical format kind of what you do. And it shows like the different people that are part of the drone. You know, I don't want to say community too much because everybody does a shot every time we say community. So, but part of the drone community, you know, and the different types of like drones, the different, because we showcase, you know, a lot of freestyle, you know, we have a lot of cinematic, like our last cover was Luke. Even though Luke flies freestyle and he flies 3D, he's a big cinematic pilot.
He's in aviation in general.
So we had LaBeba on the last cover, and she's a racer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we cover a lot of FPV, but yeah, our heart is definitely freestyle. So,
I like a pretty drone shot. Yeah. I like to lay some nice soft lines.
Yeah,
like
we're looking
cinematic.
Like a drone, we're looking at maybe a Fly Tribe calendar in the future.
Yeah.
We're looking at like a centerfold for an upcoming magazine coming up. So some new stuff.
That's really cool. I'm excited about this.
Yeah, how about the smell of burnt motors? Would you enjoy that?
That's
intestine. That would be really good idea, as you can see.
That's intestine. That's where testing.
In the what, you know?
You could do almost like, you know, at the bottom of all the pages when you flick really quickly and you can see like a little drawing that animates. That would be really cool.
Oh, okay. I like Bob books.
I would love that.
All those ideas. We love the ideas.
Yeah, I'm in.
Email.
It's Fly Drive, but content.
And I don't know if you feel about this the same way as well. I feel like I don't know where you were born, but I was born in 1991. And so my first years of life were very analog, you know, like we had books and we had magazines, and even up to probably the 2005, we still had CDs and things like that. And then suddenly everything became digital. And I feel like there's a big, big comeback in material things, records are coming back very much, you know, and CDs. Like, I might even buy a Green Day CD on the weekend.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what's going on? Why we are really attached to, I don't know if it's our generation and the next one will discard the feeling of wanting to go back to holding things. But I feel like because they were born in a digital world, they might also discover the feeling of, oh my God, I'm holding an object and it feels good. So what's your opinion on this?
Well, I feel like,
I agree. Yeah. I mean, it's what we started to notice before we did the magazine, that people were talking about board games. People were talking about how they were enjoying, like, bringing back some of the board games. It's 2024, you know, like, why would somebody put out a magazine? I think that there's still something out there that people like to have that. There's, you know, you could flip to your phone. You know what I mean? You can, let's say we're sitting there, we're on the toilet. You know what I mean? We're on our phone and it's flip, 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 flip,
when
flip,
you, have to be on the
you know, real quick. That's where I keep my magazine. And then what happens is with the magazine, it's a different feeling. You open the page and you look at the photo and you're like, wow, there's a lot of depth to this. Like you see the drone and then you see the bando in the background and you're wondering, wow, that would be kind of cool.
It shows you to take your time.
And your mind.
To look at something.
Your mind thinks more. You imagine more because you're having more time to look at something, to read the articles. I mean, when was the last time you went and just actually sat down and read something? Like, you're flipping through it to go through it as fast as you can. So I feel like the magazine brings a different feeling than you would with your phone or your computer.
I think when you're, like, getting digital content, it's sort of forced on you. You know what I mean? Because you look at anything for longer than a few moments on Instagram stream reels, it's going to show you that same thing over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. So it's being digital. It's like something being forced on you. And before you know it, half an hour has gone by, you know, and you didn't get any, you feel like you didn't get any satisfaction out of what you watched.
No value.
Or value out of what you saw maybe after you're done. And it's because of all the, like, hyper endorphins and, like, all that making you feel all good. But when you take the time to look at the magazine, it's like you can make that half an hour feel like 4 hours because you're actually slowing down. And so the new generation of kids are starting to realize, well, I see all the people that are older than me that are getting digital content shoved down their face and all this stuff. And it's, you know, maybe they don't want nothing to do with it. And it's sort of like they're learning that's being forced on them, and now they're making choices to enjoy the things that they actually like and learning from the generations before them. People are smart. Kids are smart.
It's definitely different. It's different. You know, it's not for everybody. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But for the people who like it and collect, they love the collection. Like, the having that as a collection to us is just, it's amazing. Like, we're putting the dates and everything on the spine, so now you can kind of line them all up and see all the different months together.
Nice.
Then again, showing people, you know, having that ability to kind of show people who come over. And it's nice just to leave out, you know.
Like a message that they send us.
Which one?
The person that sent us a message that they left they invited a girl the first time to their house, and they left the the magazine on the table.
See, I don't even know about this.
So when the girl came and they start talking about what he does, he just picked up the magazine and showed that he was in the magazine.
I think I was.
So he was so proud about it that he sent us a message for Instagram telling us about that story. So I thought they were super cute.
Oh my God. I love this. It reminds me, we were just talking about CDs when, like, a guy would invite you at his place and he had casually left his favorite CDs on the table to be like, this is what I listen to.
Yeah. Imagine if you are in the magazine, you're like, oh yeah, I'm in a magazine.
You just happen to leave that page open.
Yeah, I happen to leave that page open.
That page is open.
That's awesome. I love it. That's really good. And that's so good that people message you to tell you that it seems like the community, as usual, I'm not even surprised, is super great. And actually, speaking of the community, so with the people reaching out to you, like, is it mainly people at the moment from the US, or because thanks to internet and social media, you have from a bit everywhere?
Everywhere. It's everywhere, which is great. It's been a very challenging time to try to get the magazine everywhere. Shipping has been a lot more challenging than we originally thought. But We're working on right now cutting down the shipping within the United States. So now you can actually pick up the magazine at, you know, local FPB stores, online when you're shopping. When you go to like Race Day Quads, you can just add the magazine to your shopping cart and it can be delivered with your stuff. You know, Get FPB has our shirts and apparel. You know, you have My FPV store, you know, they have both. They have the clothing. And so when you're shopping for your drone parts, you can actually just get the magazine added to you.
And make it more accessible.
More accessible if you're local to one. Canada is the same thing. We're going to be cutting the shipping in half along with more of the European UK, especially London, UK, Europe, and then Germany and France. Those are kind of our three main targets right now, along with Mexico. We get a lot of requests for people wanting the magazine there. So our main goal, especially this year, is to try to make it more accessible to people. Now, if we have to give up like the subscription base and just have it there in the store for pilots to buy, we're doing it. We're looking at cutting down the cost of the magazine for us to make and then just literally adding that or taking that away from the shipping cost. So if we can get the magazine cheaper, we're going to reduce the shipping cost immediately from that. So we're doing whatever we can to be able to get it out there, because the more pilots that can be involved, the better.
Yeah.
The better.
Yeah. It's essential, really.
Yeah.
And I think it's actually essential.
And pilots, even from the second on, we've had pilots from all over the world in the magazine. They send us photos. You know, it's great. It's great. We just need to get it out there to them.
Yeah. Is it a hard thing to find FPV stores who want to just have your magazine locally?
Or? No, they've been great. I mean, honestly, Get FPV, Race Day Quads, My FPV Store, you know, they every one of them, you know, Rotor Riot, absolutely amazing.
Rotor Riot has been amazing.
Rotor Riot, Stacy, all of them have just been fantastic.
Big open arms.
Yeah. What we were surprised is we went into like RC hobby shops. And we're like, hey, would you be interested? Then no, not at all.
It's a different feeling.
They didn't want anything to do with us. Nothing. They didn't want anything. They didn't want anything to do with drones. So they
got offended on your behalf.
We thought too. We were like, hey, we're the same.
Maybe we just haven't found the right one.
I don't. But no, the My FPV store. All of them have been. You know, they're pilots too. You know, all of them there that work at these stores that you know, build this equipment, that ship the products to us, they're all pilots. So they want to help out. Everybody's been very helpful with everything, but we do need to work on feedback. Like we want to hear more feedback. It, you know, the photos, the articles, what people think that should be improved.
Yeah, what do they want to see more of or less of?
Who do you think should be on the cover? I mean, this is a made by pilots for pilots. That's our logo. You know, let us know who you think should be on the cover, articles that you write. You know, what stores do you love shopping at? Let's contact them to see if we can get the stuff there so it's easier for people to get. Whatever helps, just to get it out there to the community and get them involved.
Yeah, if you have a local hobby shop that you go to that likes drones, let us know and we'll contact them and see if they want them. But the magazine in that local shop.
Anything, just send it to either info@flytribemagazine.com or content at Flytribe Magazine.
Even when they send things to Instagram, I relate.
We're all over that. Yeah. So any way to send us information, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I feel like I sort of want to brainstorm while we're recording. Stop me if it's.
We're just hanging out.
Talking, while you were talking, I was like, how do we make it happen in Australia? How do we get your magazine here? You know, because we're on the other side of the world. And I'm like, well, there's different options. Either you manage to see how the shipping cost works all over to Australia. To send it to here, or we could find a way to print it here.
So there's definitely different options.
That's the other idea.
We are talking to some pilots originally in certain areas that we would just bulk ship the magazine to. And then we would, you know, there's a lot of steps. I mean, I can go over a bunch of steps that we can go over. What we're trying right now is just to try to get the magazines in the local store. So in Australia, do you have an FPV store that you buy from?
Yeah, I have several. I have friends that I can put you in contact with as well, because I know some more than others. So yeah, totally.
That would be cool.
And that's how these things work.
Because if we could get that in the store where somebody's out there and they're buying some motors and a frame and they just add the magazine to it, that's going to be the easiest way for us to get it there now. And then eventually, once the more subscribers we can get, the more magazines we can print, the cheaper it is for us to print. And then we can move that to the shipping. So that makes the shipping cheaper for everybody. So we've already made that first step where we've made some changes to keep the quality, but make it cheaper. Mm-hmm. And then we've immediately passed that over to the shipping. Then we just will continue to do that until we can get it to every single person.
Because we could reduce the quality.
We could not reduce the quality.
No. It wasn't an option, but I guess it was an option because it was an option, but it wasn't an option.
We could ship a lot cheaper. We could make them real thin pages.
Really light.
But there's just something when you hold the magazine, you know, when you feel it in your hands and you're like, wow, this is, it's thick.
It's going to last.
Heavy, you know, it feels like there's a quality to it and we want to keep that. It's important.
Yeah. You could leave it in your dashboard probably for a couple months. It'd probably be all right.
Yeah.
So at the moment, you're still thinking that shipping is better than trying to print in a country itself with someone who would be in charge of printing for a country and to tell you, this is how many I have printed, this is how many I can sell to local shops. Like, is it a silly idea to think like that? Or?
No, it's actually a really good idea.
You guys had that idea.
We're actually testing that. So there's individuals that we're working with right now and trying to figure out, like, if we bulk ship them, we give them, you know, all the steps that we need to do and boom, it shows up on someone's door. That's great. But we want to make sure that we go through that first before we all of a sudden try to do that in a lot of places. We've been successful on having the magazine in retail stores. So we want to start going down that path right now. But yes, I mean, if we can get local pilots like yourself in Australia or a store, we can bulk ship and then they can help get them the pilots. And it would be just the chain of the community working together, getting something like this out. That's made by pilots.
And I think like she's asking about the printing and all that. Mm-hmm. I think it depends on how many people are buying the magazine.
On a bigger scale, that would make sense.
It would make sense.
More subscriptions, the better.
More subscriptions, then it would make
sense. So we have to have a lot more people that want it in Australia for that to make sense there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the first step would be... for you would be to actually ship.
Send a box out first, see how that goes, and then find a company and people that be willing, and then everything works out.
It's a process, there's a lot of moving. We have multiple balls rolling at the same time. We're just going to see what works the best. But to us, it's just making sure that end goal is to get that out to everybody.
It's a winning formula so far, so...
Yeah, I have a good idea of who I'm going to talk about.
Okay,
and
great.
Hopefully, that would be
Please,
really cool.
Please, stay in contact,
Yeah, I will put you in contact once I hear from them, but I have a feeling that they would be keen to get some hard copy from you and then have them in the store. And so,
that'd be perfect.
Fingers crossed. I don't want to promise too much, but I feel like it's doable.
Thank you. And that's what we look for, is any type of support like that is fantastic. It helps everybody. So
Can we have a little sneak peek of what's going to be in your next one or the themes?
We have a really good video out that was made by That Banana.
What's up, Banana?
That Banana. absolutely fantastic guy. Him and his crew out there for Apache. So Apache FPV is our cover. And he is kind of, you know, really the heart of a lot of us out there. You know, he's an ex-skateboarder. He's working two jobs.
All about a community.
He's flying at night or whenever he can fly. And he is nothing but about the community.
He's a beast. Like, he really is a beast.
He is.
He is the beast of the East.
He puts together, the Beast of the East event. he is just absolutely fantastic. And we are proud to be able to have him on the cover.
Absolutely.
And That Banana put together a video, showcasing the interview for him. It's a fantastic video. We're really proud of that.
Yeah, everybody should see that because it really is exceptional.
And that's kind of the path we're going down. It's just kind of, you know, a lot of people like, you know, like what Mr. Steele was doing back in the day. You know, mm-hmm. A lot of people like what all these independent communities are doing, you know. So we're not reinventing the wheel. You know what I mean? We're just trying to bring everybody together, you know, and showcasing these are the pilots. These are the people that mean the most to the community. And when we first started flying, was the most important. It's what brought us out every Friday night. We would go out Friday night sometimes when we wouldn't even fly. You know what I mean?
Something to look forward to.
It was just to hang out with the group. And that's what we want to make sure isn't lost. We want to make sure that people see that. And also that we can use this to bring on new pilots. Like, we want to be able to use this magazine to show people, hey, there's a community out there. You know what I mean? You can join. You can come. You can, you know, buy your parts at the store and put it together and come fly with us. And, you know, we want to showcase that. So we want to be able to use the magazine for that, too.
So more of what we're also going to have some more content in the magazine that people can get some value out of, you know, with some tips and tricks. You know, little things to help me get by. So this is one of, and some of the other things to help. And the other articles that touch a little bit more on what pilots go through on a daily basis and what they deal with all the negative stuff that does enter the community and how they deal with it. So there's an article on that from Mr. So-and-so. I don't want to give away his name. And and then other great pictures that I think that we've spent a lot of time to pick through and make really good, you know, and I like it more than the other ones, honestly. Yeah. I like this proof more than any of the other ones.
This issue.
So you can look forward to seeing that in the next issue.
Cool. I'm excited. speaking of negativity, I'm not going to bring negativity on the episode. I just connected two things that you said. You said, oh, we hope to get more people involved in the community to attract more people with the magazine. And then I just want to make a parallel with how at the moment people are discovering the hobbies most of the time online. Like, it's still really rare that you're going to meet for the first time someone flying in the park and be like, oh my God, what are you doing? Compared to, oh, on Facebook, there's this viral video of this person flying at a bowling place, you know, like everybody has seen this video. But then if you've never been in the community and then you're like, oh, maybe I'm going to have a look on the Facebook page, and you start reading comments. And you should never read comments because you're like, oh my God, what is this negativity? Because it does happen. We have to acknowledge it. Whereas if you find a magazine somewhere, there's no comment under the articles. You just read the articles and you're like, oh, wow, this is amazing. I want to start this. You know, there's nothing that can prevent you from doing it. And
it's a breath of fresh air, I think, for some people. You know, it's different. And again, it goes along with keeping the narrative of a positive FPV community.
Yeah, it's a neutral to positive media to spread information. Because you're on your own, you're consuming it, you can take all the time you want. And then if you like something in particular or a pilot in particular, you can in your own time go and check them out. And you don't have to go through the hassle of Googling things sometimes. And if you start including the tips and advice and stuff, it's going to be even better.
And that's what I think the feedback from the community helps.
We need more of that.
You know, hearing what people want to see in the magazine helps. We put in there what we think people want to know. What we want to know.
Yeah.
Being able to put tips and tricks on how to fix certain things or do certain things, you know, is what we use, you know, on a daily or weekly basis. And maybe some pilots out there don't know how to do that.
Yeah, I learned it on the field. Like, you know? I learned it flying with other pilots. And you don't get that experience because you don't meet people in real life to say, well, all I needed to do was just put this on this. And all I need to do is, and that's all I needed to do. And you learn things by being around other pilots.
And then the positivity thing, also is very important because the magazine to us is kind of an escape. You know, it's not the same thing you see on social media where, you know, people are complaining about this or people are complaining about remote ID or people. This is just about us. It's just about flying. It's just, that's it.
No comments.
There's no drama.
No likes.
There's no nothing.
No dislikes.
It's just us. And that's it. That's what it's about.
Take it for what it is.
You know, we have ads, you know, we have certain rules for ads, like, you know, and that guidelines. Goes, it goes for guidelines, the better word for it, guidelines, to where, you know, there's, we want the feel of the magazine when you're going through it not to be disrupt. You know, you don't want to have something all of a sudden where it's like, oh, buy me now, sell, you know, something that kind of goes along with the magazine. You know, and that, the ads that go into the magazine, again, is they were able to pass that down to health with Jim Beam and everything else that goes along with what we're trying to do. So,
Yeah, it makes sense. Because like I said at the beginning of the episode, you just sound passionate about it. And when you're passionate about something, ads or promotion goes a bit after that. You want the content to be great. And then... Yes. Advertising to fit into and make sense and be relevant instead of being like, here's this, buy this, it's insane, and, you know, very fake things.
These are companies too who also are very passionate about what we're doing. They want to be a part of it. They're offering all types of help, you know, so, you know, it's kind of a mutual thing where you're helping them out by putting an ad in the magazine so that you're showcasing like, hey, you know, they're in the magazine, they're familiar, they're helping out, they're part of this, they know what's going on. They want to be part of it. And that's a good way for us to keep everybody included as well, too. So we try to do a nice blend of it between the two. That way we get what we want out of it. And that's a magazine that's talking about the pilots.
Yeah. Is it just the three of you or do you have more people working at the core of Fly Tribe?
There's more. There's more of us. Yeah. There's a lot of them that couldn't be here because, you know, they work late and they have jobs that are you know, kind of overlapping right now.
Babies.
Family and stuff. Billy Hackett just had a baby, so it's really hard to get him out, but he's out every chance he gets. There's a core group of us. You know, certain people have certain roles, you know, that keep the gears going. Certain people could contribute when they can, you know, maybe not all the time, but, you know, when they can. It's more of just kind of, you know, it's a keep the ball rolling, you know, learn as we go.
And it's in a, like an evolution.
Yeah.
Like we're evolving to it. And the more it demands, the more energy we permit.
You know, and the more people get involved. I mean, there's more people now involved than it was when we first started. And that's what's great about it.
Some things have filtered themselves out and then we've learned some things and, you know, who wants to be involved is involved. Yeah.
But this is just
That's so true.
Yeah.
Who wants to be involved is involved.
Yeah, period.
And who can be when they need to or when they want to. Yeah. And so that's why it works.
Yeah.
And that's why it's working.
In the core people that you refer to that or we refer to sometimes, those are the people who go and they pick up the magazines from the printer and they go and they ship them and they print the labels out. But really, Fly Tribe is everybody. It's everybody.
Nice.
It's everybody who wears the shirt. It's everybody who goes out and flies. It's everybody who goes and helps the community fix a drone. Somebody, you know, in your group. That's
Except
problems.
If I shouted out anybody, it'd be the same as if it shouted out any one of us.
It's everybody.
So I can't really say any names. I'd love to say Billy Hackett, but...
Yep, it's like anybody being in the magazine.
I love Billy, though. He's my buddy.
Anybody who flies can be in the magazine. Anybody can be on the cover. Anybody can be part of it.
This is so nice. This is
it's
the
very
kind
welcoming.
Of spirit I like in general.
Good.
Cool.
That's cool.
This is the narrative of the world, then.
Yeah.
That people do want to be positive. They do love each other. And they want to help each other. And we're just using these flying robots and the skill and all the, you know, everything that goes into doing it as, you know, just a basis for how good people really are. Mm-hmm. I think they all are. Mm-hmm. They just don't know.
The majority of the community is made of amazing, kind people and pathetic. I'm so proud of being part of this community because
I'm so lost.
It could have been terrible when you think about it. Bunch of nerds with zero social skills. But actually, it's beautiful, you know? And when I say that, I'm a nerd without social skills, by the way. I'm not criticizing. Oh, I include myself.
Social anxiety, you know what I mean? Like, you know.
But we all have something common that we're all working for and towards, you know? And it's the innovation that it drives. I've actually heard the Drip say that. It's the innovation from around the world And like any kind of suppression from like the FAA or with remote ID or anything like that, just to get out of the way, it'd be awful because it does slow down innovation here and everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
Because we need to be great here to challenge others and have them challenge us. And without that, we don't, what do we have?
And
I'm not going to start ranting.
We're also video gamers. You know what I mean? We like to stay home. We don't want to leave the house and take off our pajama pants. What gets us out is the drones. Yeah. What gets us out is the community. It's the, you know, I'm going to go out Friday night. I'm going to meet up with everybody.
I'm missing tomorrow.
I have, you know, more friends now than I've ever had before. I mean, when I was working so much. You know, I'd come home and I was exhausted, didn't want to leave the house. And now it's like it gives us the opportunity to have like a family.
And I'm so happy to see each and every one of them that are out there. Miles, Alan.
All of them.
Freaking Darren.
And what's cool is that we're not the only ones that have a Friday night meetup. You know what I mean? Mm. They're happening everywhere.
They are now.
Everywhere.
And
when you see the photos in the magazines or you see the photos that these people send, the pilots send us, we're like, wow, that looks like our group.
Yeah, who's that chilling in the parking garage?
Oh, that looks like a sick spot to fly. We want to go there and fly with them. You know what I mean? It's like that same feeling you get when you see all the different people doing the same thing.
Yeah.
It's cool.
I really like that part of the hobby. I tried to fly by myself because I have a local spot that is very convenient. It's a bit hidden behind trees. I can make a bit of noise. It's not too far from house, but it's just me. And well, I finally found a flying buddy, and we might get another flying buddy because my friend found a dad that he befriended at his like dad meeting or whatever at school, and I'm like, yeah, bring all the dads.
Yeah.
And
cool.
So I can't wait for it, you know. We just caught up recently with that friend, just the two of us, and we're like, oh, it's so much better to fly with someone, you know, because you can talk.
It's just
sometimes we fly and we talk, and then we're like, oh, shit, because you hit a branch or something. Yeah. Like, hold on a second, I can't talk right now.
Well, you have it's those awesome. Friends that push you. Like, we have, like, Skydoc. You know, so we go out and fly with Skydoc, and he's always coming up with these, oh, you should do this and go do this. And we're all like, oh, yeah, let's try it.
You know? He made me send it so hard.
Yeah.
He's like, loop the whole power garage or parking garage. I loop it, and he's like, no, 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 the other way. And I'm like, okay. So I do it, and I hit the picnic table, and then it's like, well, no, that wasn't clean.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, really?
So yeah, the community, it helps. Flying with people help, and you know, just seeing that you know, you're
wrecked up with GoPros.
Yeah, you know, there's so many other people out there doing the same thing, you know. And we all have anxiety like that, all of us, you know. A lot of us don't want to get out of the house, they don't want to go meet new people. It's nerve-wracking. Like when Marcella and I pulled up to that group of people, we had no idea how they were going to react to us. Like, we had no idea.
They were the same way with me, too, like 8 months before that.
We were just starting to fly DJI. You know, we had the potato drone. You know, that's where we started. and we were like, hi. You know, and the reception just was. And it's like that everywhere. Everywhere in the FPV community is great.
Yeah. It's great for introverts because we have something to talk about. We have a personality. We're like, this is what I fly, and that's a bit your personality.
Yep.
It definitely has helped me. I like how you said earlier, there's lots of BMX skateboard people who still do it or have moved on to drones. I was never able to do that. I said that in previous episodes. I was always like not really good with my body on bikes and skateboards, and thanks to drones, I feel cool.
Now you're
I feel
cool.
Like, yeah, I'm a cool person now. So yeah, and also flying with other people. I remember when I was more in a place to be able to meet new people, traveled a bit in Australia or went overseas and traveled a bit in Indonesia. It's so good how you get to watch other people fly, and I feel like your brain always like I used to call that the sponge effect. You watch someone for a few flights, and then you end up doing the same kind of things later, and you're like, oh, I picked that from this person, you know, this certain flick, or just seeing the difference at the same spot, how different people will pick different lines. It's very interesting as well.
Yeah, that's the first thing I do when I get to a spot, and if somebody has already flown there, I we fly analog mostly. Like, well, me and Billy Hackett and Specimen, we push each other, I think, the most out there a lot. And so I'll watch his line and then I'm like, okay. And now it's time to go. Because if it's a new spot and I don't watch the line, I'm going to break something for sure. Yeah. I got to watch his line first.
And you,
it's
imperative. Yeah. And the different flying skills. I mean, when we, you know, we're digital. Because we came up in the new era where digital was already kind of taken off.
Analog.
But all the people we fly with over here in Tampa are freestyle, hardcore, analog guys, you know? So
yeah.
we learn different things because Reckon, like, so Reckon will get up, you know, and everybody will put their goggles on. And he flies completely different than how Billy flies. And Billy flies completely different than how Specimen flies.
We still push each other.
And we talk about like learning. Like I remember learning like Le Drib, you know, where he had, you know, the flow and everything he was doing back then, you know, it was completely different. It was something that was new. Yeah. We learned a lot watching him. And then you kind of move on to some of the pilots that are local and you pick up all these different styles. All of a sudden now you have like, you know.
Tony's really pushing it out there lately, dude. Tony's going to break all his stuff, dude. Mm-hmm. Tony's really sending it. Tony's been sending it really hard. And some people new do. Rip FPV, shout out to Rip. He came out and he was out there like 3 or 4 times, only been flying for 2 months. Mm-hmm. Had Johnny FPV motors that kept then burning up on him. Props, he had no idea what he was doing. But he was still pulling off Matty flips. I'm like, dude, I've been here for like 1.5 years.
Yeah, he's amazing.
This is not cool. And now he's like chasing helicopters in Iceland.
He's the next Johnny FPV to us. To me, that's the next Johnny FPV, man. Rip's amazing. He's pulling off some really
cool stuff. I love that kid. He comes up to my house to go fly. I'm like, oh, cool, Rip. Yeah, we're going to go fly.
He's such a nice guy. Big supporter of the magazine.
Yes, I love Rip.
Yeah.
He gave us the best critics.
I could go on all day about 100 different pilots that I've met and known. And it's because of this core of people that meet up Friday nights that just with open arms. So Bankers, if you come into Florida ever, you're going to go to Bankers this Friday night.
Yeah.
You're invited.
Okay.
You're
invited. Noted.
You're invited. Better hit us up.
I have friends to visit in Florida as well, so I could just make like a whole trip.
Perfect. Yes, it's perfect.
Perfect time to go.
Lodgings is included. There's quite a nice place for you to crash somewhere. You'd be all right.
That'd be cool.
Thank you.
Yes.
We're approaching the end of the podcast episode. It felt like 10 minutes for me, honestly.
That was fast.
But it was fast. I hope we'll get you again maybe in 6 months' time or towards the end of next year to see where we're at.
Yeah, very
you
cool.
know. But one of my last questions is maybe a bit too serious. I hope it's not too serious. But what kind of challenges are you currently facing with the magazine, if any?
Take a sec. You want to give a list? There's a list.
One of the biggest challenges now is to lower the price so every pilot can get the magazine and all around the world.
And all those problems that go along with trying to do that is lower the cost so everybody can get it and feel like they're getting the value and everybody can have it.
Yeah. Distribution is the challenging part, but we're making progress and we're seeing that. Yeah. We're seeing the lower prices of shipping in the United States, lower prices to Canada, you know, UK. We're looking to at least cut those prices in half. It's something that's definitely one of the top things that we're looking at.
Yeah. And so how can the community help with that? Can they help you besides subscription? Is there anything else they can do?
Feedback.
Really, you know,
so direct feedback of what they like and what they don't like about the magazine. What do they want to see more of and what don't they want to see any more of?
That will help us make the magazine better, of course. We always want to get feedback from people. The subscriptions help. You know, every time someone subscribes, that is another magazine that we can print that lowers the cost of the magazine. Subscriptions help. Yeah. Even the digital subscriptions. It's $13 every 2 months. You know, but that's $13 that we put towards printing the magazines or put towards us doing that to be able to get it out to more pilots. And then getting them into local stores. Local stores, like you mentioned, you know, have been absolutely fantastic. And that's where I think our best shot is to get it out sooner. And then for us to kind of, as we grow over time, we'll keep lowering that to get it out to more and more people.
And start a group of people and start on your local Discord. Start a local flying group. Yeah. Just put in Discord, like Darren had said, just relentlessly for months, say, I will be here every single day at this time and be there. Yeah. And just always be there between that time and just shout it out and they'll come. It's like the Field of Dreams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Like,
try to grow the community and send those photos. Photos, articles.
Yep.
Tell us who's in the photos too, because we're trying to add more context to the photos themselves. So once you see like this magazine, you'll start to notice that we have a lot more names of the pilots that are in the photos.
Mm-hmm.
So send us photos, send us articles, keep that up, and we can definitely keep this going. That's cool.
Nice. I think you said it a bit earlier in this episode, but if you want, you can remind people where they can find you, how they can contact you, maybe like right now, so that it's clear and established.
Yeah. Instagram on our social media is the best way right now. Just send us a message. info@flytribemagazine.com and content@flytribemagazine.com. Yeah. Any one of those, just send us a message. Our website, www.flytribemagazine.com. We have videos, we have a store, we have digital magazines. You can see all versions of
the magazines. Check out the YouTube channel too.
Yeah,
we got new content coming to the YouTube channel this year.
Yeah,
that should be fun.
Yeah,
and show more of what we do when we do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice. Exciting. Cool. Thanks so much for the work you're doing for the community. I'm so glad to see that you're loving it, because it's important that, you know, it's a good experience for you in the first place. It looks like it is. And then it shows, you know, through the work, through your words. Everybody can feel, like I said, that passion. It's a beautiful project. And so thanks so much for bringing it to the community. It's lovely.
Well, thank you for having us on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you.
This was really fun. I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, I did. It's great.
Thanks for saving my my bi-weekly upload, because I was very, very late to release this episode. So
no, this worked out
thanks
great.
Thanks, guys, for coming.
Yeah, anytime.
Thank you.
And thank you so much. And I had a blast, you know, talking to you, getting to know you a bit more. I hope we keep in touch. Yeah. I'm sure we will.
I'm thinking friends with you on everybody. Facebook too, actually.
Yeah, no, this is...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
I chimed in on your caption picture. I'm pretty sure you crashed your drone in the field. It looked like you said, caption this picture, and I'm pretty sure you had the pack of the day and you crashed your drone. And
that
you had to go find it.
I remember.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
It looked like it.
But yeah, we'll definitely come back on. We'll bring some of the other people that we have been part of the group. But again, thank you for having us on. We appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
No worries at all. Thanks so much. And yeah, thanks everybody for listening to this episode, for watching if you're watching on YouTube. Feel free to support these guys. Feel free to visit all the platforms they've mentioned, because I think it's a beautiful project. I'm really proud we made an episode together. I'm hoping we'll make more content together.
Yeah.
And if you want to support this podcast, feel free to share it with everybody, you know, and give us some ratings. If you didn't like the episode, please don't give us any ratings. But if you did, like Zoe said last time, if you didn't like the episode, why are you still here? And I have Patreon, so if anyone feels like supporting the podcast financially, go to Patreon. And that's pretty much it. Thanks, guys. Thanks, everyone. And we'll see you in 2 weeks' time, hopefully.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye. Bye.